And so it says here that there's a chronos time to everything, but there's also a kairos time for everything. And that is that opportune time that God had. Oh, man. God has that opportune time when he opens that window and he says, now, here it is.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his series, In the Desert with the Father. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Desert of Unanswered Prayers.
Man, that's the craziest thing in the world, because you're going to tell me that if I've got a loved one that's sick and getting ready to die, and I'm praying for that loved one to be healed, and if I've got sin in my life, that God is going to let my loved one die because I got sin in my life. Well, you know, come on, man. I wanted to tell them, let's have some common sense here, right? I don't necessarily think that, you know, my prayer, because I got sin in my life, that God is not going to answer my prayer and let my loved one die because I got sin in my life. Okay, so, you know, there is a caveat, you know, to this. There is a prerequisite to it. And so I believe what he's talking about here is God moving in your life to do great things in your life. Not necessarily you praying for a loved one who has a sickness and your loved one dies because you got sin in your life. I don't think that this is what it's talking about. So, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there because it kind of disturbed me. You know, it's almost like the minister, you know, it might have been one of these situations where the guy, you know, was beginning to doubt the word of God and said, all we need to do is preach Jesus. I don't know. It might be one of them situations, because he actually knocked out a couple of points that I'm saying with that argument. He's saying, well, that means it depends on you. No, it doesn't. That, you know, just you got to put it in the context. All right. So as you put it in the context, you know, I believe that it's talking more about, you know, things that's going on in my life. You know, with things that I'm trying to, you know, see the Lord move in my life in mighty ways. And then, you know, there may be some other things that I'm praying for. But, you know, we need to realize that in our life, if our prayer is not answered, that it may be because there's sin. And so, you know, we need to examine ourselves and confess and repent of our sin and turn to God, if this is one of the reasons why our prayers are being unanswered. The next point is closing one's ears to the cries of the poor. Whosoever stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. So we need to keep a sensitive heart to the poor. And we need to be ready to assist them. Now, when Hurricane Harvey hit, you know, we prayed as to how God could use us. And we raised over $2,000 to send to help with Hurricane Harvey. And so I believe that as we have been sensitive, you know, with all the things that we have here at Bethany that address the needs of the poor, that because we have been sensitive, when we've cried out from our stewardship campaign, oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, when we've cried out from our stewardship campaign, I believe God has heard us. And so yeah, I thought that that was a good example of the point that the scripture is saying right here, is that, you know, if you close your ears. Now, you know, again, you can't meet every need. And, you know, we understand that. You know, we understand that every need that's out there that we can't meet. But we need to be sensitive to God and let God direct us to know what he wants us to do. And he will guide us to the people, to the places that we are supposed to. You know, I prayed about 2 weeks. You know, we had started taking up the offering. And I just kept praying. I said, Lord, you know, we could give to the Red Cross and we can give to this organ, but I want to give to a church that has boots on the ground, that's doing something. And Lord, I need for you to show me. And so I began to talk to people and call. And I was up in Philadelphia for a meeting for a conference. And I was talking to the pastor up there, Pastor Willie Richardson. And I was asking them, had they done anything? And so he turned me on to the pastor down in Houston, and I was able to make contact. So, you know, again, you know, you pray, and God will show you, you know, what it is that you're supposed to do. And so as you go forth, you know, have a heart, you know, for the less fortunate. Now, again, I realize that there are some scammers out there. You know, I understand that. You know, I remember when we were across the street, and I was going to my car, and the guy stopped me, and he said, man, he said, I'm hungry. He said, I really want something to eat. And so I knew over at Wendy's that you could get a junior bacon cheeseburger for $1.05. And so I said, look, man, here goes $1.05. You know, I can take you over there. You can go, and you can get a junior bacon cheeseburger at Wendy's. And I said, and if you come back tomorrow, somebody from the food bank will be there, and, you know, we can hook you up with some more food. And so I said, just tell them to ask for Pastor Glaze. He said, are you Pastor Glaze? I said, yeah. He said, you're the pastor of that church? I said, yeah. He said, you mean to tell me you're just going to give me $1.05? You the pastor? No. See, I realized that, you know, he was out to get over. So, you know, there are people that are out to get over. But, you know, saints, sometimes we got to be willing to take the risk. I mean, if, you know, sometimes it's obvious. It's obvious when somebody's out to try to scam you. And then at other times, you know, sometimes you just got to take the risk and just say, you know, if this is legitimate, you know, then God will bless it. If it's not legitimate, then, you know, this person's going to have to answer to God for, you know, taking advantage. So that's, so again, you know, be sensitive to the poor and be ready to assist them. The next reason for unanswered prayer is maybe it's not God's timing. Maybe it's not God's timing. Ecclesiastes, you know, says that there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now, you know, this is very interesting. And if you go on and read, you know, I forget what group it was, the birds or the mamas and the papas or somebody went on to sing a song about this, you know, to everything, there's a season, turn, you know. So they kind of went into it. And if you go on and read, Solomon goes into it, the time to born, the time to die, you know. I think the Sugar Hill Gang talked about it too. That's neither here nor there. But when you look at that there is a season and there is a time, you know, there's two Greek words for time, chronos and kairos. You know, chronos is chronological time, you know, which would be, like 1 hour, 2 hours, one day, you know, a week, a month, a year. That's chronos time, right? That's time that, you know, we can measure. But then, check this out. There's kairos time. And kairos time is that opportune moment, that window of time that if you don't capitalize on it in that window of time, that the opportunity can pass you by. And so it says here that there's a chronos time to everything, but there's also a kairos time for everything. And that is that opportune time that God had, oh man, God has that opportune time when he opens that window and he says, now, here it is. You know, I think about, you know, the fact that we've been praying over 6 years now for the building. I've been coming here every year talking about this building that we're going to have, right? I mean, we still don't have it right now, but at least we see, you know, some results. We see some ground being broken. And you know, and so we, over 6 years, you know, just kept praying, kept trusting, kept giving. And now it's a kairos time. I mean, it's that opportune moment. So for those 6 years, basically, let's be honest. Let's just be honest. Our prayers went unanswered for 6 years. But God said, keep praying, I got another point. I need to get to this point. But keep praying. He says, Not now. I mean, you know, we had, what was it, Brother Russell, 3 years? Was it a 3-year campaign that we started out with? 3 years. So we thought in 3 years, you know, we're gonna break ground and we're gonna get started. But again, Kairos, God's opportune time. Isn't it interesting that we break ground on the same week that the church turns 120 years old? Wow, that's crazy, man. To me, that's crazy. But that's what? That's Kairos time. That's that opportune moment. And so sometimes God withholds an answer in our prayers because he's waiting for that Kairos moment. You know, we want it now. We want to see results now. We're praying for God to do something now. And God says, it's not my time. It's not my time. And there is coming that Kairos moment, that when that Kairos time comes, all things are going to work together for good to them who love the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lack of persistence. Lack of persistence. You know, some people don't get their prayers answered because they don't persist. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them unto this end, that men ought to always to pray and to faint not. Now, you know what? We could look at that scripture right there and just move past it and say, well, you know, he wasn't necessarily talking about persistence, right? I mean, he's just making a statement that men ought to always pray and faint not. You know, that's a good statement, a good thing for us to know, but, you know, he's not necessarily talking about persistence. But if you go on and read verses 2 through 5, Jesus gives a parable. And the parable is of the persistent widow. And she kept going back to the judge. She kept going back to the judge. And the judge was trying to blow her off. Right? The judge was blowing her off. And finally, the judge responded to her request. And Jesus summarizes that by saying, because of the lady's persistence, the judge was moved to act. Now, you know, God, I believe he already knows what he's going to do, you know. But sometimes, you know, God has a yes answer for us, all right? He has a yes answer for us, right? But we get weak. You know, just say this is the yes right here. This pulpit is the yes, right? And I'm praying, and I'm getting closer, I'm praying, and then all of a sudden I start getting weak, right? Now, God still wants to do that. He still wants to do it. Now, you're going to say, well, where do you get that from, Pastor? Well, go back to Abraham, right? He prayed, and the thing that I see in Abraham is that, you know, when Abraham, you know, persisted and asked God for a number, God said, well, that's what, I'll do it. I'll do it for 30. I'll do it for 20. Abraham kind of, at the end, he kind of got a little weak, right? And so I don't know what would have happened. I wasn't there. You know, when we get to heaven, you know, I'm going to ask a lot of questions. That's going to be one question that I'm going to ask. Well, what if Abraham would have said, what if there's one? You know, would you have spared it? You know, but Abraham stopped a little short. So that's going to be one of the, you know, when we get to heaven, I think we're going to just spend eternity learning. God's going to teach us, right? And so we can ask all these questions and find out the end to these stories. And so that would be a story that I want to find out. But Abraham, when he stopped, God stopped. And so I think that there's something with persistence in prayer. And how many people have given up in the ninth hour or the 11th hour, you know, when God was going to move in the 12th hour? Here's a wonderful testimony from George Mueller. I love this. I love this testimony. Mueller, when he got saved, now, Mueller, he ran an orphanage in England, and he trusted God by faith to provide for the orphanage. But when Mueller was young, he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and he had five friends that he wanted to see come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Two friends became Christians within 2 years after Mueller was converted, and he kept praying for the remaining three friends. But it seems like those prayers were going unanswered. as about 10 years after he was converted, another guy gave his life to Jesus Christ. So there were two guys that Mueller was praying for. And the fourth guy was converted when Mueller preached his last sermon before he died. And the fifth guy never got converted. And Mueller died. And it was within a year after Mueller died that the last guy gave his life to Jesus Christ. But his whole life, George Mueller never stopped praying for those five guys to give their life to Christ. That's what we talk about, persistence in prayer. Be persistent. The Lord, the next one, the Lord is protecting you or the person from some harm, right? Right? You know, that's why I say, you know, when we pray, sometimes the Lord says yes, sometimes he says no, and then sometimes he said, are you kidding? Right? Because he knows that if he gives you the thing that you want, that it's not going to be any good for you. You know, I had the opportunity. Now, I don't want any boos now. I don't want to hear any boos, all right? But I had the opportunity to try out for the Dallas Cowboys in 1977 and then in 1978 for the Denver Broncos. And I remember when I was cut from the Broncos, I was sitting in a room in Denver, and I was mad at God. And I was telling God, man, God, you know, since the time I was 8 years old, I wanted to play professional football. And this is something that I wanted to do my whole life. I wanted to play professional football. And here I get the chance, and God, you didn't even help me. And so, you know, I was a little upset with God. And do you know, the next day, God called me to preach. I felt the call of God in my life to preach. I had just graduated from college, and I was enrolled in seminary. And I was thinking, you know, if God would have let me go to the NFL, you know, would I be where I'm at today? You know, I mean, maybe there's a possibility, but it would probably been the long way around. And so God was protecting me from myself because he had another will. He had another plan for me. The psalmist said in Psalm 121, verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. And so the resolution there is ask the Lord to reveal any danger or anything that's what might cause you harm later on down the road. The next one, doubting and not believing in faith. Doubting and not believing in faith. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith. So ask what? Pray. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So if you're praying about something and you kind of wishy-washy about it, you know, the fact is, if you don't have a heart for it, why should God have a heart for it? You know, if you kind of like, well, I'm not sure, you know, this, I'm not sure about that. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, cometh how? In prayer. He that cometh to God in prayer must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. The resolution is stand and act on the promises of God. And then the last thing is God has something better in store. That you might be praying for something, and God says, I got something better in store. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So the idea when that prayer goes answered, you know, don't jump the gun. Don't try to get ahead of God, but continue to wait. I remember hearing about an evangelist who was coming back from a revival, and he felt a little bad about not spending time with his son. And so he told his son that he would take him to the toy store and buy him anything that he wanted. And so the first thing his son saw was a little water gun. And he says, can I have it, Dad? Can I have it? And the dad said, yeah, you can have it, but maybe there's something else. And then he went a little further and he saw this toy ranger. And he said, Dad, could I have it? He said, yeah, son, you can have it, but maybe there's something else. Let's continue to look. And then his son saw this brand new red bicycle. And he said, Dad, can I have it? Can I? And the dad said, son, this is what I had planned for you the whole time. He was, you know, the son was willing to sell himself cheap, right? But the dad knew what he wanted to do for his son. Your dad, our heavenly father, he knows what he wants to do for you. Don't sell him out cheap. Don't get the cheap stuff. Wait and hold on. If, as I close the message today, let me read a story to you. All right, let me read a story to you. A carpenter was building some crates for clothes for his church that was being sent to an orphanage in China. On his way home, he reached into his shirt pocket to find his glasses, but they were gone. He remembered putting them there that morning, so he drove back to the church. His search proved fruitless. When he mentally replayed his actions earlier, he realized what happened to the glasses. They had slipped out of his pocket unnoticed and fallen into one of the crates, which was nailed shut. His brand new glasses were heading for China. The depression was at its height, and the man had 6 children. He had spent $20 for those glasses that very morning. It's not fair, he told God as he drove home in frustration. I've been very faithful in giving. I've given my time, I've given my money, I've worked, and now this. Several months later, the director of the orphanage was on furlough in the United States. He wanted to visit all the churches that supported him in China. So he came to speak one Sunday night at a small church in Chicago. The carpenter and his family sat in their customary seats among the sparse congregation. The missionary began thanking people for their faithfulness in supporting the orphanage. But most of all, he said, I want to thank you for the glasses that you sent last year. You see, the communists had just swept through the orphanage, destroying everything, including my glasses. I was desperate. Even if I had the money, there was simply no way of replacing those glasses. All along the time, I was not able to see well. I experienced headaches every day, so my coworkers were in much prayer about this. Then your crates arrived. When my staff removed the covers, they found a pair of glasses lying on top. The missionary paused long enough to let his words sink in. Then, still gripped with all the wonder of it, he continued, folks, when I tried on the glasses, it was as though they had been custom made just for me. I want to thank you for being a part of that. The people listened, happy for the miraculous glasses. But the missionary surely must have confused their church with another, they thought. There were no glasses on the list of items that they sent overseas. But sitting quietly in the back, with tears streaming down his face, an ordinary carpenter realized that the master carpenter had used him in an extraordinary way. Amen. Amen. You see, sometimes when we cry out to God and we pray, and it seems like our prayers are not being answered, you never know what God is doing somewhere else. You never know what God is doing somewhere else.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the start of a new series titled Mending the Fences of Broken Relationships from the book of Philemon. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Desert of Unanswered Prayers, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Unanswered Prayers. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Unanswered Prayers. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.